Truth and Transcendence. Brought to you by Yes, You Now, with Catherine Llewellyn. Welcome. Truth and Transcendence, Episode 8. Upwellings, meltdowns, healing crises, and breakthroughs. There's a myth abounding, which is that in order to grow and develop, we must first hit a crisis point. We must first fall apart. There's also a myth that anyone involved in personal growth work or professional development work will be wanting to break people down before building them up again. Both of these myths are exactly that. They're just not true. It's not true that we have to break down in order to grow. However, there are times when breaking down is what we need to do next. Because for us in that moment, that's what we need. So why would we ever need that? Well, sometimes we need that because we are in a place where, for whatever reason, we are unable to let go and become fluid and responsive and allow in nourishment of whatever type it is, whether it's information, learning, love, whatever kind of nourishment it might be. Sometimes we get ourselves into a position where we can't let any of those things in and we can't let go without first somehow cracking open, breaking down. So these are times where our self-protective armor has become too solid and too impenetrable. Or these are times where tension has mounted to the point where we cannot let go of it. We cannot release it. So these are times where breakdown is required. Another time that breakdown is required is when we have a huge build-up of emotion in our bodies and in our hearts, and we for whatever reason, can't release it. We can't find a way to release it. So sometimes the only way to release it is to break down. So breakdown is fruitful in those moments and at those times when nothing else is working, when that's the only resort left for us. Now, those of us who've grown up in the Western tradition, many of us have been taught as we grew up that emotions have to be controlled and that our experience has to be controlled and that discomfort must be avoided at all times, and that death is a bad thing to be avoided. All of this unfortunate education, and by the way, I may be speaking to somebody who, you may be someone who's had a very enlightened upbringing and enlightened schooling, and you may have a completely different take on those things, in which case I am delighted. And to you, I would say, what about your people? What have they grown up being taught to believe? What are they coping with? So whether you're somebody who had that as a background and now has come to adulthood with that particular conditioning in the background, or whether you're somebody who's had a more enlightened upbringing and education, who's come to adulthood very able to allow feeling and suffering to flow through your body freely, and with the ability to emote and release those feelings and emotions within an appropriate way and within an appropriate context, obviously, but someone who's very capable of that, to both of you people, I would say, what about your people? What about those who look to you in your business, in your family, in your community? What about them? So we're talking about you and we're talking about your people as well here when we're talking about breakdowns, because some, for all of us, sometimes we need to have a bit of a breakdown. Now, let's just talk for a moment about what that actually means. So I was thinking about this and thinking, well, you know, I don't really feel I need to have a breakdown in order to have a breakthrough, in order to transcend something. But then I remembered that I'm in a particular group of people who are really quite comfortable with emotionality, their own emotionality and other people's emotionality, partly because of our training and partly because of our inherent nature and partly because of all sorts of other life experiences that we've had. So something that I might call just having a good cry, for example, or having a bit of a vent or having a bit of a cathartic moment, somebody else might view that as a breakdown. Someone else might witness me doing that and find it extremely alarming and therefore something to be prevented or stopped. But to me, it's a natural part of how I process my life. And I think there are more and more people who are like that now, who are actually fairly comfortable with the whole process of allowing our emotions to flow freely. And also, you know, there are more and more people now who are comfortable with somebody else doing that in front of them without feeling the need to go in and in some way squash that person's experience, somehow massage that person back into an allowable state of expression that feels more comfortable for the witness. So yes, breakdowns have their place in those moments when that's what we need, not as a first place to go as a strategy for growth, in my opinion. Now, this is something else. In my opinion, you'll find that pretty much every experienced, mature facilitator or coach or consultant that you might work with will have their own set of opinions about how to approach things. And it's really useful to find that out about them before you start working with them, to find out what their approach is and what their philosophy is. So if I'm looking for some facilitation or support for myself, for example, I will ask a potential practitioner some questions. And if they're one of those people who really wants everyone to break down in floods of tears and shouting and punching cushions and things before they feel anything else can take place, then to me that is a kind of a lazy and crude approach to growth. There's a tremendous difference between being okay with somebody having a breakdown or a meltdown if they need to, and being willing to let them have their experience and be there for them when they need you, and being somebody who insists on some sort of dramatic catharsis, almost as proof that you're open enough to grow. So that whole question about breakdowns and breakthroughs and meltdowns is quite important. And it's really worth examining our perspective and our philosophical view on that, as well as our capability and our comfort and fluidity in relationship to those notions. So what about healing crises? I actually love this term, healing crises, because to me what that sums up is a situation where it looks like somebody is having a crisis that's very alarming and should be in some way made better. And to recognize that actually that is a healing process. Now, getting to grips with this idea is incredibly empowering. It's one of the things that my clients have told me has been very useful for them. Because if you haven't really explored the concept of healing crises, then if you find yourself in a situation where you're having a lot of discomfort, emotional distress, doubt, fear, anguish, despair, whatever that might be, how do you know whether it's a healing crisis or a dangerous falling apart? How do you know the difference? Now, I believe that all of us within us do have the sensitivity to know the difference for ourselves and sometimes on behalf of other people. But unfortunately for many of us, if we have had that unfortunate upbringing, which encourages us to squash emotionality and to embrace a sort of limited, allowable scope of expression and feeling, then the minute we start to step into a place of that sort of distress and discomfort, we're more likely to assume that it's a bad thing, rather than keeping in mind the possibility that it could be a healing crisis. So given that many of us have had that sort of conditioning, in order to unravel that and allow that inner sensitivity that we all have to strengthen its voice so that we can hear it and we can listen to it and we can follow it, we have to practice. So to do that, what that means is we really need to welcome those opportunities to have those difficult experiences and to allow them to expand and to be felt in our bodies and expressed in our tears and our shouts and stormings and however we want to express them, in such a way that we become more familiar, more fluent with those experiences, and then we can start to tell the difference. Now, these days, there are many people who can help you to do that. It's also something it's possible to do on your own, but it's easier if you're not familiar with it and you're not really comfortable with it. It's easier to do it to begin with somebody else, somebody who you trust. And that's the main thing. They've got to be somebody who you trust with and who and where there's the right kind of chemistry between you. You know they're going to support you. But it's possible to reach a place where you could go into that kind of experience, live it, breathe it, feel it, and emerge from it cleansed. And I read something today on a newsletter. Somebody I know who runs a network who said he's just recently had a very bad virus experience, and he's come out of it cleansed, renewed, and revitalized. Now I found that interesting, because I mean, this episode is not about viruses, but this example is parallel to the conversation about emotionality and difficult experience in the body. We're in a place at the moment in 2021 where there is a difficult virus sweeping the earth. And although some people feel think it's not really sweeping the earth anymore, most people think that it is. And where the public opinion, if you like, the mainstream idea is that this particular virus is a very bad thing and has a very bad effect and continues to have a bad effect for a long time after you've recovered from it. And then here's this friend of mine who says, I've recovered from this virus and I've come out of it cleansed, renewed, and revitalized. This man clearly has a completely different relationship with his physicality, his health, his immune system, and this particular viral manifestation than the mainstream is telling us that is possible. Now, I don't know why or how that is. I don't know him well enough. But I would imagine that at some point during his life, he has done some work around his health and his physicality such that he's able to actually face, deal with, and respond to a challenge to his health in this very creative way. Either that or he's deranged, but I don't think he is. I think I know him well enough that he's to know he's not actually deranged. So very interesting. And so the same thing applies around emotionality. So coming back to healing crises, it's very, very useful to learn to recognise for ourselves what's the difference between a healing crisis and something that's a problem that needs to be resolved. So clearly, we can't do anything more about that because we're not in the same room together. But it's something that's worth investigating. And if you look back over your life, you may recognize healing crises that you've experienced. And you may recognize healing crises that people you know and love have experienced. And two more quick ideas I want to talk about in relation to this are readiness and resistance. Sometimes we are ready to do some deep and intense work, and sometimes we're not. And sometimes the work doesn't care whether we're ready or not, and just happens. So if the work just happens, then we just have to do it. But at other times, we can choose whether or not we're ready, or we can choose whether or not we're going to do it now based on whether or not we are ready. And this is really important to keep in mind. It's easy listening to an episode like this to start to believe, well, what Catherine's saying and what other people are saying is that I must always be available to deep, profound and intense waves of emotion. And in reality, that's not the case. In reality, sometimes what we need is some peace and quiet and some comfort and to watch a bit of TV, have a cup of tea, have a brandy, have a cuddle, whatever it is. Sometimes that's what we need. And at those times, we're not ready to do that kind of deep, intense work. But other times we are ready. Other times we're in the right frame of mind. We've got the energy, we've got the time, we've got the space, we've got the opportunity, and then we're ready to do it. So this is another thing I always encourage people to try to do, which is to keep an eye on where they are in terms of their readiness to engage with some of the depths of experience and the depths of expression within them. Because we're not always ready, and we're not always not ready. And this is where resistance comes in as a topic. I always say that resistance is a source of data, a valuable source of data. When someone I'm working with hits resistance, by resistance, what I mean is a situation where that person has said, right, I want to accomplish X, and they start working towards accomplishing X. And partway there, they start to feel either that they can't do it, or they don't want to do it, or it's a bad idea to do it, or it shouldn't be done now, it should be done later. In other words, rationalizations that try to get them to stop on their progress. That's resistance. So resistance is our unwillingness to continue on the path that we've chosen. Resistance is very difficult because it's very often extremely strategically clever, because it will come up with all kinds of brilliant arguments as to why it's a much better idea not to follow this path now. I think we've all had the experience of wanting to go and tell somebody that we like them or that we're attracted to them, and we set off on our way to do it. And partway there, we suddenly realise, oh no, I shouldn't do this now. I'm not wearing the right outfit. If you're a woman, I need more makeup on. I should have my jacket on. I should have my jacket off. I need to check my breath. This sounds ridiculous now to us as adults, but actually, we've all had those moments, haven't we? When we're on our way to do something that we know we want to do, and partway there, we come up with all kinds of reasons why not to do it. And if you're thinking, well, those reasons were absolutely right and correct, yeah, they usually are based into something valid. But ultimately, in the end, your life is your life. Your life is not about, is it valid or rational to do this or that? Your life is about, what do you want your life to be about? You're a free spirit. No matter how trapped you may or may not feel in whatever circumstance you may or may not be in, you are a free spirit, and ultimately that's what your life is about. So if you want to do it, you want to do it. Now, we've all got these mechanisms of resistance within us, which originally came to be. They were designed by the part of us that wants to protect us and keep us safe. And we all know this. We all know about conditioning and early self-limiting belief systems and all that kind of thing. We all know this. The thing is, in the moment, can we actually observe our resistance and say, ah, hello, resistance. Thank you very much. What are you saying? What are the feelings associated with it? What are the beliefs associated with it? What can I take from that as valuable data to learn from about myself and about myself in relationship to this particular challenge and this opportunity? And then using that information, proceed. So readiness and resistance. Sometimes we're ready, but we have resistance. Sometimes we're not ready and we have resistance, but we're not ready, so we don't proceed. And sometimes we're ready and we don't have resistance. And those are the times we can move most easily and most quickly. But resistance is good news. It's useful because it helps us understand why we didn't accomplish whatever it is earlier on in our lives. It'll be because of the exact same resistance. So if you then look at that consciously, you can liberate yourself and move forwards. So this episode has been about upwellings, meltdowns, healing crises, and breakthroughs, and a number of sub-themes in relation to those. And all I would invite you to do really in relation to that is to kind of revisit that part of you that is willing and eager and able to go through the difficult experiences. Because what's on the other side is always much more interesting than what happens if you simply skirt round the difficult experiences. The only way through is through. So today's invitation in relation to that is to watch another little video that I created, which is about the fact that change brings challenges. And the question, how can I turn problems on their head and discover the hidden lessons and opportunities they offer and leverage results beyond my wildest imaginings? This is a short video, and I've put the link for you in the show notes. Thank you very much for listening. Enjoy the video, and I'll see you next week. You've been listening to Truth and Transcendence, the regular weekly podcast from Yes, You Now with Catherine Llewellyn. For more information, head to yesyounow.today/podcast.